This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This episode of Witching Hour is brought to you by Second Scout, home of the original magnetic timber daily routine helper and little agenda weekly planner designed to make life easier for families.
With easy visuals, their routine helpers, weekly planners and home organisation solutions speak a language the whole family can understand, even those non-readers.
Kids get to rock their day with confidence and predictability, while us parents get to save a little sanity. Once a task is completed, kids get to flip the tile over to reveal a star, which gives them a sense of achievement, encourages responsibility, and provides positive reinforcement.
Head to secondscout.com.au and say hello to smoother days. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work, work. I'm Lou.
And I'm Loz. Good news story for today. A landmark parliamentary inquiry has found rates of birth trauma unacceptable and recommended an overhaul of the health system. The recently released report makes 43 recommendations, which is a lot, including number one, increased access to continuity of care models with a known provider. Number two, more comprehensive antenatal education. Number three, a review of laws regarding informed consent and formal training for maternity workers in this area. Super, super important, that one. And number four, greater investment in mental health support, postpartum services, and trauma-informed care. All of these things are such a good step in the right direction, what I think of as a positive outlook for the future of birthing women.
Absolutely love that. Sometimes when you bring me a good news story, it sounds like a bad one to start with.
And no, it's a good
a plot twist. And it really excites me.
It is
because
good.
Because then it's like, hang on, that's not good news. And then you take it somewhere that is good.
Yeah, so at least
I'm
now
loving
I feel
that,
like,
Lozzie.
Yeah, it's being listened to. Those stories are being listened to. And it's something like one in three women experience birth trauma. So it's a serious thing that needs to be taken at a parliamentary level. And action is coming, which is good.
I feel like it would have hardly been talked about 10 years ago.
Oh, not at all. Absolutely not.
I have a few things to bring to you quickly, Lozzie,
yes,
before we get into the topics of today. One is a bit of a win for dads. It is funny highlighting these things because I would never expect praise as the mum doing these sorts of things, but I still think it's worth it. A nice little moment last night. I was leaving the house, didn't really think about anything to do with leaving the kids, and Hayes was cooking dinner for his friend, kids, and Ray. And I just thought, that's bloody lovely. Mum's heading out, not thinking about dinner. Hope that happens more for everyone. Second thing, Lozzie, I called Mum this morning. I needed to get her opinion or her thoughts or her story on this.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how you and I often text, talking business, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
We're very savvy, very forward thinking. We're evolving.
A lot of voice memos.
We're moving the needle. We're doing all sorts of incredible things. And I said to Mum, did you get as distracted as a new parent without the use of your phone?
No.
Do you think phones have made it worse? And she said, well, of course, mobile phones have made it worse, but it's not like I was on the ground playing with you all day, every day. She was a dedicated mum of four. And I just thought, for anyone that's feeling a bit distracted out there, yes, we all need to be on our phones less, but they were a bit distracted too, just in different ways. So give yourself a break. And thirdly, I've been going on about how good I've been at getting to my Pilates classes.
Yes.
In the last week, I found it a little bit harder because I've been doing a little bit more paid work. And I wanted to say, if you were feeling shit because I said I was getting to class, some weeks you can't get to class.
No,
I've cancelled two in the last few days. And I think that's fine too, accepting that sometimes paid work has to come first or whatever it is, as long as it's just not always the case. So don't always make the excuse that you can't do X because of Y, and just picking your battles. So I wanted to say this week, not panning out as well for me when it comes to my physical exercise. So if you're like, how the fuck is she getting that me time? She's getting a bit less of it this week. And enough from me. Do you have any updates before we go? I feel like I always give these updates at the top.
No, I don't. I just think, and I want to talk about this in another episode, I think there's a lot of pressure on women to maintain the same schedule every week, whether it's for like eating or exercise or whatever it is within that general realm. And I've been getting really into this. Sounds a bit woo-woo, but I will explain it in a further episode because it's something I'm quite passionate about. into cyclical living. And I'm not talking about like letting your cycle dictate your life, because that sounds
I'm all for that. I mean, you can't, obviously.
You can't. You actually can't.
In a lot of ways, but.
Exactly.
But identifying how you're feeling, I think, is great. Like not exercising when you've got your period if you're feeling like shit. Yeah. I think that's so smart.
Well, this is half the thing, right? So every week you're like, oh, I need to do 5 classes this weekend, or I really want to do 3 classes this week, or whatever it might be. But there's some ways when genuinely your body is saying, don't do that. Sit the fuck down.
Lie down.
Relax. Maybe instead of exercising, maybe you go out, go for a walk and sit and have a solo coffee. That's also totally fine. I'd love to discuss this topic more because I'm only starting to learn more about it. But I genuinely feel like in some ways my youth was kind of stolen from me in the way that no one discussed this. Like no one talked about it. And I mean, 50% of the population gets their period. So I don't know. Just like your hormones, you know, why would we not be more in tune with it? Anyway, that's my woo-woo rant for this morning. And,
I know.
I'm sure we'll get more into it in another episode.
I love it when you go woo-woo because I think as a general rule, I'm probably slightly more woo-woo than you.
Yes.
But you're a bit like subtly woo-woo.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I am.
So let's get into it, Lozzie. Today, the rise of the dry promotion. I hardly know what this is about and I quite like it when I'm unprepared for what we're talking about because this is exciting. You're going to tell me. An overachiever fails on maternity leave. I am on the edge of my seat for that one. And a mid-year check-in. We ask you all about how you're feeling at the moment with making work work. Take it away, my friend.
The rise of the dry promotion. Promotions are traditionally a cause for celebration, as it likely means a new job title, increased responsibilities, and a pay rise. But what happens when the title and tasks change, but the salary remains the same? I didn't actually know there was a word for this, dry promotion, but recently I've spoken to a few girlfriends, not just one, a couple, and they have said they've been given this opportunity where they can step up into a more senior role. And my natural question was, oh, how great, like a promotion, you know, you must be stoked. Like, oh, not necessarily. So yes, it's a change in title.
Bit of a sidestep.
It's a bit more responsibility. But yeah, but we haven't had the salary conversation around it. What is this? Is it because of budget cuts or is it a new phrase that's coming along that management are using? Like, here's this great opportunity. Anyway, it turns out that within the last 2 years, the concept of dry promotions, also known as a promotion without a pay rise, are on the up. This strategy, while not new, has seen a noticeable uptick in popularity. In 2024, so this year, over 13% of employers opted for this approach, up from 8% in 2018, according to a Perlmutter study. Promotions, including dry ones, can offer a wealth of benefits. They provide employees with the chance to enhance their knowledge and skills, broaden their networks, refine their capabilities, and boost a sense of value and pride. Speaking in general terms, promotion usually benefits your career. Whether or not it's paid, usually the outcome is that A, you can either apply for a better job once you've got the title as to where you're at. We already know that the studies are showing that people aren't staying really at the moment any longer than 3 years in their current roles. So when I say, oh, it's annoying that you're not getting a pay rise, but I'm like, if it's for a period of a year to further enhance your career or
accelerate.
Yes, that was the motion that I was doing. If it's to accelerate your career down the track, okay, fine. Like it might feel like a step backwards, but in hindsight, it might seem like an actual step forward. It also might allow you to manage others. So perhaps the promotion that you're getting enables you to lead a team, which is a great learning opportunity. It might allow you to collaborate with new employees, also ones that are at a higher level within the company. So it could give you more access to senior management, which of course we know is great. But I'm keen to understand your thoughts, Lou. Like if somebody offered you a promotion and said, oh, and if it didn't have an end date, so if there's no end date on it, so we're not talking about you stepping up into a role because someone's gone on mat leave or a position opening because someone's gone on a secondment with no end date, how would you feel about it?
The Lucy pre-motherhood would have been like, thank you so much for this opportunity. I would love to accept it. Don't even worry about paying me more. Pay me less if you want. But now, as I sit here today in 2024 in my power, just kidding, I am not powerful at all, I would be like, wait a second, mate. I'd call my boss mate because, of course, that's how you should talk in the office. I would say, wait a second, mate. Where's the money? Show me the money.
Would you though, or would you not? As in, let's just say you didn't do that. How long do you think it would take you to say something or to feel some form of, I wouldn't say resentment, but some form of, when are they going to have the conversation with me?
It would depend on a few things. It would depend if I felt like I was upskilling and showing a new side of my professional self. Okay. It would depend if I was taking on, as you say, management of team members. Yep. Am I managing people? I feel like quickly learning the, I guess, enormity of that and potentially navigating different emotions and how best people need to be served to get the most out of them. I think it would take those few things to realize what this extra cost was to me. So firstly, am I becoming a better worker? And if so, I deserve a better price tag. But secondly, if it's at a greater cost to me, so if navigating, managing a team and all of their different ways of working feels like a cost to me and my time and my productivity, then I would be going straight back to old mate and saying, hey, manager, why am I not getting paid more when I am clearly doing more?
Yeah. So this research.
What would you do? Because you're way more savvy than I am.
I would probably ask the question up front, which is what we'll get to in a minute in terms of what you can do to make sure that you feel happy with the situation. I again think it depends on your age and where you're at in your career. I do think when you're younger or if you're moving roles, if you're moving not necessarily industries, but let's just say you're jumping from like finance to marketing and they say, oh, there's a good opportunity for you to grow skills in this area that you don't already have. I understand how that's beneficial. I do think where the piss can be taken sometimes is particularly, I feel like this is usually the way that things are worded towards women, not necessarily towards men. I do think it takes the piss if you're plate is already full, or if you're already a high performer that perhaps hasn't attracted more salary in your previous performance review because the company doesn't have budget, and then they continue to load your plate and you end up thinking to yourself,
yes,
what's like you're taking advantage of someone that's doing the work, that does it on time.
Yeah, what's your actual strategy here?
Exactly. How am I developing?
This is so me pre-leaving for maternity leave. I was the person that's played always got that little bit more loaded because she's the yes person and she'll get it done and she probably won't ask for more money.
The research was saying that the thrill of a new job can quickly sour if promotions do not come with a salary increase. Creates a breeding ground for dissatisfaction, resentment, and a decline in morale among some employees. Research from SHRM in 2023 indicated that 72% of employees experienced diminished motivation when they perceive their compensation as unjust, which is exactly how I would feel.
Isn't that interesting? That's just reminded me of motherhood in general and why sometimes we feel devalued because we don't get paid for the work and we don't get acknowledged for the work. I'm almost finding a similarity here that I've never quite put together, being that person in the office that isn't getting the pay rise but getting all of the extra work.
Yeah, and I think, yes, completely agree. So what do you do if you're in this situation, which is on the rise? So more and more people are going to have something like this that comes up, whether it's to them, a colleague, a friend, whoever. Number one, there is no harm in asking for a pay review. So if budget restrictions are a key reason around a lack of financial compensation, which I'm telling you right now, every company is going to say at this point in time. If we're complaining about the cost of living,
yeah,
companies are saying we've got increased overheads.
And also just like a company would rather profit than pay you more.
Yeah, it's true.
For the most part.
Absolutely.
Like, we'd actually just rather a bit extra money ourselves. Sorry.
It's always a common thing though. It's a really hard comeback. So this has happened to me a few times, particularly like early on in my career when I would get a bigger opportunity or I would move into a sidestep role and be so excited. And then when I'd say, oh, you know, at performance time, here's what I've added. Here's the value that I've created. What does that look like in terms of a salary review? That, oh, you know, there's no budget this year, or we can only give you this much. This is like the maximum. And I felt that there was no room for negotiation. Like, what do you say when someone says there's no budget? So here's what you say. If the key reason is that there's no budget, which I'm almost guaranteeing will be the reason, because I don't know what other reason there would be. Like, no one's going to say to you, we don't want to pay you more outright. So what you can do instead is ask for a timeline for when this situation could be improved. And if they can't give you one, then your response to that can be, let me think about it. Because what they're saying to you is, I'm not sure. So it's very easy to mimic the same part of that conversation. Like if they go, oh, I'm not sure either. That actually is less awkward.
I'm not yet. Yeah, don't think I'm as keen as you. Don't you do that to me. I was already going to do that to you.
Exactly. And once you've got a time frame in line, oh, maybe we'll review in the next 6 months. Put it in your diary and at 5 months say, hey, Peter, hey, Mary, whatever your names might be. I noted off the back of our conversation that you said there was no budget increase at the time. Just wanted to strike up that conversation again as per our meeting notes on the day that said we'd review it in 6 months. It's 5 months. Want to make sure it's top of the agenda. There you go. They're already going to start to panic.
I really love both of those tips. It's really smart how you said to mimic their energy about unsureness, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it then puts them on this footing of, oh, they might start seeking out other opportunities and they're actually really good at what they do. So what are we going to do for them?
Then at least you can go back and be like, okay, cool. Let me think about it. If you just start by being like, oh, let me think about it, I guarantee your manager, boss, whoever that's providing that opportunity is most likely going to sit there and be like, that's slightly like ungrateful.
Yeah, no, I love it. The mimic. I'm going to do the mimic if I ever work for anyone else in a more formal capacity than freelance. I'm mimicking.
You should.
Number two. Their energy.
Are there other ways you could be compensated? Could you work more flexibly? Could you finish on a Friday at 3 p.m.? Again, if they say no to the budget requirement, if they say there's no more money to pay you more, but we'd like you to take on all these additional tasks, no reason why you can't ask for something that's slightly outside of the box. I think you'd be surprised how many managers will agree to it, because little things like that aren't necessarily policies. They're like one-on-one relationship based. So if you're saying to your boss, do you mind if I finish at 3 on a Friday then? They'll probably say yes. They don't have to go through HR. I wouldn't have thought to allow that. That's like a, you know, in the box type conversation.
It's a little bonus.
Yeah.
In the box. Keep it in the box.
Yeah. Explain that you really appreciate the promotion and want to make sure that you meet expectations. Ask if you'll be to handle all of your former duties along with your new ones. Again, another great way of putting forward or posing a question that doesn't sound defensive, doesn't sound ungrateful, more just stating the facts. And it's a yes or no answer. They're not going to be like, oh, maybe. It's like, oh, what's a go here? Great way to clarify. Number four, document the agreement. If future pay increases are a possibility, formalize that commitment. Exactly what we were saying before. If there's no budget, if they say, you know, 6 months' time, just follow it up. It's the right thing to do. It'll only benefit you. And number five, know that you can always say no. Treat a dry promotion like a job offer. Does it include responsibilities that you actually want? Will it help you advance your career? Maybe by giving you supervisory skills that you didn't have before? Will it keep your current responsibilities or add new ones on top of that? How will your manager evaluate the new role? There are ways to politely say thanks, but no thanks. And that could be aligning it with where you see yourself long term. So you don't have to take on all of this additional staff just because it's posed and packaged. It's this great opportunity. Might not be the right opportunity for you.
Especially as a mum, because we are prone to accept extra responsibility in our careers, especially throughout our 20s, because we think it's the right thing and the right step. But if you're taking on extra responsibility for no extra pay, anyone doing that is stressful, particularly someone that is also a parent and has huge responsibility at home.
Yeah.
I think that's a brilliant tip. Having to think about if it's ego driven, if it's actually your wants and needs driven, or if it's money driven is really smart, because if it's only fulfilling your ego and nothing else, is it worth it? Maybe not.
An overachiever fails at maternity leave. I start taking work calls after the first week at home with the baby. It does not occur to me to ask for help. Jennifer Romolini wrote this piece.
Beautiful name.
Beautiful. I start taking work calls after the first week. I pretend to be aghast at this intrusion, but in truth, I welcome it. I schedule check-ins while I am nursing and while I am sterilizing bottles and scrubbing breast pump parts. I want to hear gossip. I want to be needed for advice. I'm terrified of being replaced. I'm terrified that they'll discover that I am not indispensable, that it is better off without me. Did you have this feeling?
I did pre-maternity leave, but I did not at all once Ray was here and I thought I would. Did you?
I definitely had the same experience. I did pre-maternity leave. I also think I slightly felt it as I was easing back into work at that return to work stage when I was trying to get
myself
up to speed.
Yeah, like, was this person better than me?
Yeah. Or just like everything had changed. Like there was new management, there was new leadership, there was new people in my team. And not that I felt like I had been replaced, but I felt like I didn't know the familiarities of work that I had previously known.
Yeah.
So I was a bit like, God, am I still valuable here? Like it was a short period of time, but I definitely felt it. In the next few months, even after I turn to work, I take on 90% of the childcare and 80% of the domestic work. And when people tell me I'm so lucky that my husband does laundry and changes diapers when they stare at him dreamily while he wears the baby in the baby carrier, like they didn't know that a man could do such things. Like he's a dog playing the saxophone, a switch flips, I see only red. Everything he does is wrong and bad. Everything I do is right or good. It does not occur to me to say, can you help me with this? I am protecting him in a way I'll never protect myself. I want him to sleep when I don't sleep, eat when I'm not eating. I am at the beginning stages of becoming a woman I hate. We must discuss.
Wow.
Did you do this?
Why haven't I read this article yet? Absolutely not. I think I'm a glutton for punishment. People often say how amazing Hayden is, and I think it is because I trained him like a dog that was going to play the saxophone. For lack of better terminology, I did not protect him from sleep. I woke him whenever Ray woke up, and same with Posey. I hope Hayden doesn't hear this. I pretend to be asleep when Posey wakes up during the night and Hayden gets her out of the bassinet and brings her to me. I am evil and this woman is the opposite. What about you? What was it like for you in the early days?
I agree to disagree on this one. I think a lot of women do this, like a lot.
Oh, totally. I'm in the minority. Yeah. I'm absolutely in the minority.
I genuinely think you are. I would say for Zave, I'm very much, I don't know, maybe if it's because my mind is like blocked out crying a bit at night where I'm so tired that I just sleep and Ryan's like, oh, Zave's crying. I'm like, mate, get up then. Like if you can hear it, like you're it.
Yeah.
Tag,
go
you're
fucking
it.
React to it.
Yeah, see ya.
Bye.
See ya. But I must admit, I did think at the beginning with Sienna, even though it was COVID, I was on mat leave and Ryan was working. I mean, I was still working as a mum, but I must admit on so many occasions, I thought to myself, it's better off for you to get a good night's sleep so that as long, like at least one of us gets a good night's sleep, or it's better off for, I don't know, me to do this, to take this off your plate. I genuinely do think I put our family unit much further ahead in terms of like needs and priorities than I did my own. And I felt really fucking tired. Second time around, I didn't do that.
Yeah, but I think that's fair too. I understand that in the very early days of maternity leave, it can feel like your job to look after the baby. If you're breastfeeding, naturally, you're going to be the one up with them anyway. So I totally get that. Two things with Hayes. He's the best sleeper on the planet. So if he wakes up, it's not going to ruin his night, and he's so comfortable with the fact that he will get back to sleep. And I actually don't even know what my second thing on that was, Lozzie. I can't even remember because I am a tired mum of two. But I understand why people do say in the earlier days, protect one of your sleep. I'm going to get up breastfeeding anyway. It's not that I'm such a staunch feminist that I don't understand. Sometimes there is a need for role play and it might not be even so much as just fair on that day. But yeah, that didn't happen in our household. I just was very much, actually, I will.
Why? Are you lying?
I have just remembered that I've probably been a little bit more protective of Hayden this time so that he can look after Ray as well as possible.
Okay.
So it's more the, I'll get up and do this with Posey because I want you to get up and do that with Ray.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite. I feel the first time.
Yeah, we're the opposite.
Yeah, the first time I was very much like, you need your sleep to Ray, or like one of us needs to be functioning. Happy to take it for the team. But second time around, I'm like on Sunday, I went to a class at like 8 a.m. I was like, see, you're on your own. Bye. I didn't even, he's like, where are you going? I'm like, to a class. Like, adios. You got this.
I'm going to the Netherlands and I'm coming back in 5 weeks.
And when I first had Sienna, I thought Ryan was the most, and I still do occasionally, but I remember like I thought he was the most beautiful man on earth. Like when I saw him and have like when I saw him with the baby carrier and her little body in there, I was like, far out. Jesus, absolutely impregnate me again, you sweet man. Like I was the person saying
what
that.
What is that? what is that in the early days? And it's like everything is love, oxytocin, oxytocin, yeah, oxytocin.
True, but like I
and then
genuinely...
all of a sudden I was like, bam, yeah. I hate you.
But I would
want... Even if they're doing right.
I know.
Like Hayden does nothing wrong and I sometimes hate him. What is
I
that?
I know. But second time around, like I wasn't like that. Like when Rye had like Zabe in the carrier, I was like, well, he's like, oh, what should I do? I'm like, mate, just hurry up. Like put him in the carrier. Yeah. Like why are you taking so
just
much time?
Do it. Yeah, it's funny. Even last night as I was saying Hayden cooked dinner and my friend walked in really impressed that he was cooking. And that's why I almost coming back to her point of that everyone dotingly is like, wow, look at the dad, he's cooking. And I get that she was actually just, I think, impressed by his meal. She tasted it and was like, fuck, that's awesome. It's not like she was saying, oh, wow, a dad's cooking. But I was sort of like, Dal, of course he can cook. You would not be, actually, she probably would have given just as glowing a review if it was me that had cooked it and she was trying it. But it's funny, I did have that moment of like, why is he getting praised? He's just doing his thing.
Yeah, where the trap falls, I think, for people that are perfectionists or typically overachievers, like a lot of perfectionists fall into that category also, is it's very difficult to relinquish control and let go of things and then have other people praise the things that you can't, like it kind of does crush
your
soul
slightly. I know
what you mean.
I know some mums just want to manage the whole thing because they get a lot of reward out of it and they look around. And I think you would relate to this, and I don't want it to come across as mean what I'm saying, but you would look around and go, look at everything I just did.
Well,
this
okay.
is amazing. And I still do it sometimes too. Like I'll be like to Hayden, fuck, I'm a queen. I've cooked. I've done this. Like I am queening today. And he'll be like, yeah, you are, sweetie. He doesn't say sweetie.
Here's a good example for you. The other day I was no joke 70% of unpacking the dishwasher, as in I had unpacked 70% of the dishwasher. Then Ryan, I saw his little irritating hand come along and he went to go pick up a plate, like to put it away. I was like, oh, no. I'm like, put that down. He's like, I'm trying to help. I'm like, nah. Don't you dare come in and try claim 15% of what I've done. Like, absolutely not. Yeah. If it is completely ready, like where you should have come is the minute that dishwasher finished, you should have been straight on in there to unpack it. But don't come in as I've done 70% and try to claim it. Like, I did help, mate.
Yeah.
2 plates out of 100 ain't, I'm sorry. I don't even want it.
Nothing.
I can't relinquish that.
That's like if you go to a parent's house for dinner or something and you start to get up just as everything's being stacked.
Oh, yeah.
Can I help? Oh, yeah, you could have helped 20 minutes ago, darling. Not now. I know exactly what you mean. Don't swoop in here like a superhero. You either fucking get involved early or don't get involved at all.
Amen.
A lot of answers on the poll this week, Lozzie, and it's more of really a Q&A than a poll because there's not many multi-choice. It's more just Q&A vibes here today. So I was late with this one, so I was really happy that we got so many replies because I only put it up this morning. It's now 12 o'clock. So thanks to everyone for getting involved because this normally goes up on a Sunday night, but I'd eaten prawn toast and some salt and pepper tofu with my girlfriends and I forgot to put the whole thing up. So let's go. This one is a bit of a mid-year check-in. We're taking stock. We're halfway through the year, end of financial year.
Oh, my God.
Goals,
terrifying.
Thoughts, feelings. I know. It's fucked
tax
up.
Time.
Post is nearly 6 months old. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's crazy. That is crazy.
Wild. I know. It's making me a bit sad. So, but anyway, let's stuff down my emotions and talk polls. The first part, Lozzie, finish this sentence not for you, but let's guess the majority of our audience. This is actually quite interesting because we're getting to know our audience more here. I am ... pregnant and working, parenting and working, trying to conceive and working, or on parental leave.
Pregnant and working.
Parenting and working is our biggest demographic in this poll.
That's what I meant.
Is that what you meant?
I meant.
I thought that was an interesting one to pick because pregnant and working was the second lowest. I thought so. Parenting and working 54%, on parental leave 34%, pregnant and working 10%, trying to conceive and working 2%. Next part was at the moment making work feels ... mostly good, mostly hard, near impossible, necessary for me to be a happy parent. What do you think was the most common answer?
Necessary for me to be a happy parent.
Really close. very even ones here. 34% was mostly good, which is great to see that 34% of people are sort of feeling like they're, for the most part, navigating it.
Loving it, yeah.
30% was mostly hard, which is fair enough. I get that. Necessary for me to be a happy parent was 28%, so pretty even footing with mostly hard. Mm-hmm. And nearly impossible was 8%, which I hate to say that anyone's finding it near impossible, but to be honest, I thought that was going to be higher.
Yeah.
With that in mind, I then asked, what is your biggest current challenge in making work work? Here are some of the most common answers. Heartstrings, type of work, boob monster. Wow, that is very well put. I get that one. Yeah. Plucking at the heartstrings, I imagine being leaving your kids can be hard. Type of work, what the fuck do I want to do next? Motherhood can bring creativity and all sorts of things. And boob monster, know all about that.
Yeah.
But I'm in the phase now of really starting to pump and get posy to have that pumped express milk, which is good. Started new business because I couldn't return to previous job, so no money yet. That's really hard. That was like the start of Ready or Not, not taking any money in. It's such a big risk. I totally understand that person. Hopefully we're all millionaires one day. Sickness, balancing needs of everyone else, majority of it landing on me to do and my job.
Yeah, the sickness is
that is whack. So fucking overwhelming.
And it feels like
and
it
just
started
the way it derails
early.
A week.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like it started early?
So
I was
early
saying
this year.
That. It's like in between seasons, I feel like it started this year.
Yeah.
About 20 people said sickness. Being present with my children, feeling like I'm doing both things badly at the moment. I cannot relate to that more at the moment. I'm looking around, trying to stay present. On the days that Ray's there too, I've got a toddler and a baby. I've got these ideas.
Busy.
I'm chatting to you about all these things that we've got in the works. And it's just like, fuck, Lucy, you need to find a way to compartmentalize better.
Yeah.
And I just can't. How do you find that? Because you've obviously got more structure in your paid work than I do as a freelancer.
I think you just have to time block. As in,
yeah,
my days are very meeting heavy at the moment, which is good and bad. So I have to be really effective at managing my time in terms of different areas of my life. Even if it's kids admin, I don't want to be doing that ad hoc. Like there needs to be a set time for it just to get it done.
That's really smart. Someone said not being away from my son, still not sleeping. He's 10 months and he's still breastfeeding. Fuck, that's just exhausting.
Yeah,
high standards and not reaching them, like having a clean house, all of that. It's often all of that around the stuff that makes navigating paid work and motherhood hard, don't you reckon? It's not actually the paid work sometimes, and it's not like motherhood specifically.
Yeah.
It's literally everything
it's
that comes
everyday
between those
BAU.
Two things. And two more here. Judgment from my in-laws. This is a big
God,
one. People
cringe.
Being judged either by their parents or in-laws of like, she shouldn't be working so much. You know, the kids are wanting her more.
Oh, shut it.
And then knowing.
Shut it.
Yeah, shut it, Susan. Sorry, Susan. I love you, Susan. And then lastly, knowing when not to work. I find that impossible. I love my kids and I love being around them, but I just want to work all the fucking time.
Oh, my God. Last night, I'm not joking you. Also, just let's take a moment for this greaseball hair today. Earth is going
on. I can't
on.
Tell on Zoom,
oh,
Darcy.
Oh, my. I am horrified with this Riverside thing. It's taken an automatic screenshot of me as my profile picture, and it looks like it's caught me mid-sneeze. That is cooked. Like, why
stunning.
Are you doing
we'll
this
to
me? Anyway, last night I went to bed at 5:50 p.m. I was so tired.
Wow.
Yeah. I woke up at 8:30. Like, I felt delusional. I was like, where am I?
Yeah.
Like, I need to pee. And then I was like, oh my God, my whole family's asleep. Then I went back to bed, obviously, woke up this morning at 6:30. I was exhausted. Like, at that point, I was like,
heaven. So, what did you say? I actually can't stay up, put the kids to bed.
No, yeah. I said, we went out for dumplings yesterday. I ate too many dumplings. Like, I do. I want to own that and just say I'd had far too many carbs in a short period
of time.
Has
anyone not eaten too many dumplings when dumplings are on
No,
offer?
But I think I ate them so quickly and I had a couple of glasses of wine and then it's like I got home and like they all expanded in my stomach and all I could think about was like I need to rest. Like I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I just said I've got to go to bed.
Mummy's been working hard at the restaurant. She needs to rest.
It was so bad. I said to Ryan, I'm like, I'm going to have to go to sleep. And I think he thought as like a kip, like, oh, she'll be up to help with bath and stuff. No. Sorry, mate, you're on your own.
No.
Didn't come out of that.
Great. You deserve that.
Yeah, I do.
Well, you have also just been solo parenting. So
exhausting.
I then asked what people are enjoying the most about navigating paid work and motherhood because there are good bits, as we know. Mm. Someone said making my own rules, feeling like me again when I'm at work and enjoying the break from my kids, highlights solo coffee time. Nothing makes me happier than when I mean, I don't get it that much at the moment because I have a 5-month-old, but I remember returning to paid work after Ray and getting to the studio and just having that coffee by myself.
It's so good.
Morning.
Yeah, it's the best.
Heaven.
Yeah.
A lot of people said different iterations of feeling like myself again, which I know that there's this conversation of that we shouldn't identify as who we are in the workforce, as who we are as people.
Yeah.
But it does really make you feel like yourself again because I think you get inspired by like your own creativity and the ways your mind works. You do re-engage with different parts of yourself. Have you found that?
Yeah. Look, honestly, I think for me, I'm just going to really dumb it down, which is what it is. I wanted alone time. Like going back to me, back to work for me was exactly that. Yes, I was busy in other ways, but it allowed me some time by myself where I didn't have my children having like kid conversations about where to put a puzzle piece or like, oh, mum, watch this, mum. Like, I can't. I just needed time by myself.
Three more here. One person said the creative outlet it's given them and I really, really value that. That is a huge thing for me. Someone else said money, lol, and there were like 20 different iterations of that. Yeah. So a lot of us also are just doing it because we fucking need money. Yeah. And the last one, of course, I'm going to end on this one, driving to work, listening to radio or not. Aww, actually, though.
Cute.
Bless them. Yeah. Love these people. The next one was more for our recently returned to work parents. Mm-hmm. So what's the biggest challenge in returning to paid work? Some of the most common answers were starting childcare for babe with sensitive temperament and pumping with long shift work. We have a go-to guide for that. It's at readyornot.au. Breastfeeding and away from the baby. It's just like it's logistically challenging, but finding the right pump and the right breastfeeding and returning to work go-to guide can help with that. But totally feel you. It's just another thing to think about. The guilt and anxiety about sending my baby to daycare younger than I'd like. That is so hard.
It's so hard. I've been thinking that with Posey. In that same boat.
Yeah. Hayden's staying at home with Posey next week so I can go and record the first 3 podcast episodes for this podcast I'm producing where I work. Mm-hmm. And if not, she was going to have to come with me. And I was thinking, this is so hard if childcare is your only choice, but you're not ready because I'm not ready to send her at 5 months. But for a lot of people, if there's inflexible work arrangements with the other partner or if you're a solo parent and you don't have grandparent help, you have no bloody choice because who can afford a nanny? I certainly can't on our salaries.
No, and also there's a reason why childcare centres exist. And I think they have children, they take children from 12 weeks. I mean, I know it's not ideal and it feels like crushing when you have to do that.
Yeah,
but it's also
emotionally
like,
hard,
this is
but
life.
We're not saying it's a bad thing.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't
so basically
up.
What Loz is saying is exactly, I was just about to say that. I love that, Lozzie. Feeling like I'm failing at it all, paid work, motherhood, home life, marriage, sigh. It can be fucking overwhelming at times. I am totally with you there.
Yeah.
A lot of people said different iterations of the juggle, mum guilt and functioning on very little sleep. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we overcome that, Lozzie. I was thinking we need a tips and tricks episode about how to navigate sleepless nights and then working. So maybe we'll have to get someone in who's a professional because that is really hard.
It is.
And last one here is getting to work on time. At the moment, I'm working mostly for myself. I work mostly from home. It's quite easy for me, but I'm not getting Ray to daycare until about 9. And I always think, I can't believe there's so many more corporate people out there, probably in the city, dressed schmick. They're dropping their 6-month-old and their 2-year-old to daycare. And somehow getting to work on time. How
it's
are people
impossible.
Doing this?
It's actually impossible.
It's so
That's
hard.
What I've learned recently. So kinder doesn't start until 8:45. Yes, I could do early daycare, as in before care for kinder. But I'm also conscious that both of my kids are there till 6 o'clock. They're in the after kinder care. Sienna is. And it's near impossible. Because by the time I drop them to kinder, and then get on the train to go to work, like that's already 9 minimum. And then I have to walk to get to work, then to get in the building, to go up the list, to sit at my desk, 9:25. It's outrageous
It's impossible.
How hard it is. Yeah. It's so hard.
Another example of how kinder is not geared to working parents at all.
Oh, my God, the time.
It's like
it's
off
so
you go home. They just think that everyone goes home. The next one, have you felt like throwing the towel in at any point? Have you felt like throwing the towel in at any point with paid work?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Many times. Sometimes I'm like, this isn't worth it. I think for me, it's really difficult when I'm having a challenging morning with the kids. So when Sienna's like, Mom, don't go to work, like she's upset. And I know that I'm in there.
And you're like, why am I doing this?
Why am I doing this?
That's the hardest feeling.
I know
exactly that. But then also, Ray's just getting to that age and I can totally empathize with that feeling.
You just feel bad. But I'm also like, I'm doing this so that I'm a better person when I get home. And also so that you can have a better life than I had. As in, not that my life was bad. It was great. But like, you know what they say, the next generation of children, of your children, usually you want better for them than you had. So I'm like, I had a great life. I had a great childhood. So I'm like, my expectations are high. Anyway.
We're going to give you a fantastic one.
Yeah. Sienna, so shut up and listen. Stop the tears.
Mummy's giving you a good life. Don't want to be around me.
Oh, my God.
No, but it is so hard, that emotional challenge of them obviously wanting to be home with you. And some days they don't, and some days that's not what it is either. Like when I picked Ray up from daycare and he was so sad to leave because he had to part with his Jackson Storm toy. And I was like, fuck, maybe it's not always that he wants to be with me. It's just change of sceneries. Who knows? Yeah. But the emotional weight that you carry when they don't seem to want to go to care, it's fucking hard. So what do you think was the most common of these? Yes, but not seriously, because I need the money. All the time. Nope. Need it for me.
Oh, that's hard. Maybe A, yes.
Yeah. So that was 56%. Yes, but not seriously because we need the money.
Yeah.
29% was nope, I need it for me.
Yeah.
And 15% was all the time.
Yeah.
So sending some love to those people that really do.
I also would say for that small percentage, or not small, but like smaller percentage, I would probably say that's due to the culture environment of their workplace. It is extremely frustrating, and I have absolutely been in this position where you are in a team, in a company where you don't feel valued, you already feel stretched, you would love to be a more present mom, and your team are assholes. Mm. And I feel like that really wears you down. You're like, I actually don't like going in. I don't like the conversations that I have. I don't feel valued. What the fuck am I doing here? But that to me 100%. Signals like time for a new role. Like working is still amazing.
It's
wrong people.
It's interesting that you say it like that too, because if you're feeling, often our kids don't value us per se. So if you're feeling like that at home where you're slogging yourself for them only to complain about you cutting the sandwich up the wrong way, for example, and then you get to work and you feel like there's not a good culture there, it can be like, fuck, I'm slogging myself for everyone, or flogging myself for everyone around me for very little perceived reward.
Yeah.
So I agree with that tip. That's when you need to jump ship. So I then asked what people are dropping. So what are the plastic balls that can be dropped or that they're trying to drop? Maybe we're not there yet because we're all just trying our best here. Clean house was one of them. Someone said, I want to make more basic dinners. Outfit repeating, that's a great one. How can you wear the same work outfit a slightly different way? We actually talk about that in the tips and tricks episode of your return to work wardrobe. I love that. A million people said always cleaning, making sure the house is always tidy.
Yeah.
Need to drop that ball a bit more. And then lastly, giving a shit what people think, packing perfect lunch boxes for older kids. Love that.
Oh, yeah.
Who the fuck cares what people think? It's such a funny one. I always worry about how shit I am at packing Ray's food to go stay with Michelle and E, your auntie and uncle.
Oh, my God. As if you worry.
And I don't even pack anymore because I know Michelle loves cooking for Ray and, like, genuinely does. This isn't me being a shit daughter-in-law. But I still do get that pang of feeling like a shit daughter-in-law. So next one is based off something that we used to do as our end of season review at Cricket Australia, which is that stop, start, continue thing. What can you stop? What can you start? What can you continue? So the first one is what people are stopping. One person said, don't know. And I love that honesty. I don't know what I can stop because there is so much to do and they probably feel like none of it can be stopped. Checking emails on days off because it causes anxiety.
Oh, I wish I could do that. One. Can't do it.
I wish I could stop. I check my emails every fucking 2 minutes, Lozzie. It kills me. Beating myself up about trying to be my absolute best every single day and still not being enough. Sending love to that person. It is exhausting. You're trying to be your best self at work. You're trying to be the best mum and we're just a fucking hard on ourselves.
Yeah, we
so
are.
Lowering those expectations is a huge one. scrolling Insta at night and getting the hell to sleep instead.
Oh, I wish I could stop doing that.
If you find any tips, please give them to me.
And also send us your memes because I live for them. Like, there's nothing more I love than a good meme. Like, I love it. Like, please send them through. A nighttime meme. It's so good.
You pretty much pebble me every night. Like, I do. Like, good night. I love it. Funny meme. And last one here, gatekeeping, letting my husband figure it out.
Yeah.
Huge one. Everyone at this stage knows how passionate I am about maternal gatekeeping.
Yeah.
We all have to stop it. Lozzie's working on it, I promise.
Oh, God. I'm very slow at it.
Next one, what can you start doing? Not many of us need to start doing anything, but one person says getting baby on bottle. Another says automating things like dinner, HelloFresh, etc. We have a cleaner starting this week. I'm so excited. I'm very happy for that person. Prioritizing myself and my business goals. More meal prep and start utilizing my mornings better. And the last one here is start letting go of some of the guilt, process it, work on a reframe and a mind reset. Huge one.
That's a big task though. Big.
Yeah. We'll chip away at that. Next one is what can you continue doing? Favorite answer here comes from one of my best friends, talking with friends. Another person said weekly plan, which we go into heaps in our postpartum and return to paid work go-to guide. I'm so big on that now, and it is saving, if nothing else, my relationship with Hades, because we're now so much more respectable to each other's me time.
Yeah.
In that if he plans and helps me plan to get to Pilates, I in turn wanted him to get to swimming because my time's been valued and he's planning for that. In turn, I want to plan for his. So I think that's a really huge one. Work boundaries. Wow, if anyone finds some answers to that, please send them my way. I have none. Hayden told me the amount of hours he reckons that I spend on Ready or Not a week the other day and it actually made me feel so bad. I actually can't tell you. I'm going to have to tell you offline.
Okay,
it's terrible. And he's like, I'm not even being judgmental. I just think that's honestly how much you work on it. And I was like, fuck, I need to really have a good hard look at the way I spend my time then.
Yeah.
And then last one here, talking to partner, being okay with this season, not looking perfect. That is a beautiful one to end with. It can be so hard seeing your relationship change with the ebbs and flows of parenting life.
Yeah.
But it's important to know it's not forever.
Hopefully not. I mean, none of us know yet. Neither of us know it's not forever, but we can hope.
Yeah, we certainly hope. And then I had two more questions, Lozzie. One was, let's set a mid-year goal together. So I'm going to read some of our listeners' mid-year goals then I'm going to ask you for a mid-year goal.
Okay.
One person said getting out of my postpartum funk, and that is how I've been feeling. I actually wrote a piece on it on my Substack, readyornot.substack.com, and it's called On Postpartum Defunking. So if you need some inspo, go there. Daughter is almost 2 years old, yet I still use having a baby as a reason not to prioritize myself.
Yeah.
That is a brilliant goal. Start prioritizing yourself. A lot of people say similar things about making me time, carving out me time, all of that stuff. Someone else said slow down, not rushing to do all of the things. I find this so hard on weekends. There's birthday parties, family commitments. You definitely need to do that. You are on the go all the time. You're busier than me and I'm busy, so that's a lot.
Wow.
Someone else said have a business plan. That is very exciting. And we've got a strategy day this Saturday, Lozzie.
We do.
Woo, which I'm excited about. We'll be doing something similar. I am very excited about that. And to finish, I've got two more brilliant ones. I've actually got three. I'm sorry, Lozzie.
Send them to me.
A pay rise and to book a family holiday.
Oh, yes.
Earlier nights and earlier mornings. I love that. We all need more sleep.
Yep.
But then maybe you're fitting in some Pilates in the morning. That's great. A new job that fills my cup a lot more than my current one. Current is a for now role. That's brilliant. Goes to what you were saying before.
Yeah.
And I can't help but finish on these two. Find what sparks joy and corny, but be kinder to myself. Sleep deprivation is no joke. Let's all be kinder to ourselves. What's your goal, Lozzie?
I actually do think my goal would be not slowing down, but putting my energy into things that bring me joy. So if something isn't
prioritizing your time a bit more.
Yeah. If it's not a hell yes, it's an absolute no. And that comes to work things that I could get involved in, or opportunities at work, or areas for extension or whatever it might be. If I'm not excited about it, I feel like I'm at a point where I don't really want to do it. And if it doesn't align to like a long-term growth objective for me, it's a no. If it comes to friends, if it's pissing down rain, I said we'd catch up at a park. I'd prefer just to cancel. I don't want to go to a cafe with two kids, to be honest. Like, I actually don't want to do it. It's not enjoyable for me.
Amen,
sister. I prefer just to cancel. They hate it. I don't want to do something else instead. Things like that, I think, for me. What about you?
I think that's really good. Mine is having better boundaries for paid work and motherhood. Because I mostly work from my laptop at home, I am just a distracted little bitch all the time and I need to stop it because fucking hell, Posey is growing up in front of my eyes and I'm actually having like that emotional time where you're like, oh my God, you're 5 months old, and that has happened
so
like
quick.
That. So slowing down and setting better boundaries while still maintaining that time for myself.
Like that.
It's just a few goals.
Yeah, well, you know.
We'll check back in.
Yeah.
And Lozzie, we normally do a tip segment at the end of this episode, but we've now released a weekly tips-based episode called Tits and Tricks.
Yes.
Which the third episode landed on Thursday. So we're actually getting rid of tips at the end of this. So we're just going to wrap up right now.
We are. If you have loved listening to today's episode, please leave us a positive review. Every review truly helps. Even if it's constructive feedback, we're all about it.
Please. Oh, be arseholes to us. But to our, DM us mean reviews. Yeah. DM us the constructive ones and just put the really nice ones online.
And please follow us on readyornot.pod. As always, like Luce and I just love hearing from you in our DMs. Luce is way more across it than I am, but she always flicks them to me. And I love this community. I love the questions that you write in. And it's nice. It's like a nice little thing at the end of the week just to read some really, really good feedback.
It's so
from you guys.
Good. Yeah. It's our hit. We get a dopamine.
We do.
From it.
So keep them coming. See you next week.
See you next week. See you on Saturday. Woo woo.
Oh, yeah.